Open your Bibles, if you would please, to Matthew chapter 13. In the next 2 weeks that we're together, we're going to be plowing some pretty familiar field, and that is in these parables. It's come about because that's what the subject that was given to me this year for summer camp. So I have been going back, of course, in camp, in the week of camp, we're not going to be able to hit every single parable, but I have tried to go back and start looking at all the parables in the New Testament. And although they're very familiar, I believe that sometimes that familiarity can lead us to overlook some very basic truths that are very important for us. And I think that's why I think it's important for us to look at these parables together. Chapter 13, verse 1. And the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. And some fell on the stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell amongst thorns. And the thorns sprung up and choked them, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, and some 100-fold, some 60, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore spake I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receiveth seed amongst the thorns is he that heareth the word, and that careth the word, the care of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed unto the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understands it, and bears fruit, and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. As I said already, familiar ground can many times rob us of really spiritual truth. Good spiritual truth. And it's always important for us to go down to the very basic foundation and fundamentals of really what the Lord Jesus is trying to do here. Parables are something that sometimes cause a lot of people problems, and I think some of that is because we try to put into them more than really the Lord would put into them. parables, the Greek word simply means to put alongside. The Lord Jesus is creator. He's God, and he can walk along. He can see a natural creation. He can see a tree. He can see a bird. He can see a sower. He can see seed. And he can therefore turn around and make a spiritual application. God created the natural realm, the natural world, so that we could understand, so that he could illustrate for us the spiritual realm. You see, God's a spirit, and you can't see spirit. You can't touch spirit. You can't smell spirit. You can't sense spirit. You can't. There's a lot of things you can't do with it. It's a spiritual realm. So what the Lord does is he created a natural world. And I believe in creating that natural world, everything in the natural world is used by God to serve him, to teach something about the spiritual realm, about the kingdom of God, about who God is, about his reign, about his characteristics, and how he deals with his people, what's true in the spiritual realm. And I believe the more that you study the scriptures and the more that the Lord opens your eyes and understandings, the more you go through life and you can look at anything in life and realize there's a spiritual principle. And that natural will teach a spiritual principle, and you can see it. You can see it all the way through the natural realm. But what we do with the parables is the Lord Jesus just simply saying, look at the lilac, or look at the flower, and then go on and teach a spiritual parable. We go ahead and we would try to put a spiritual meaning on every word in the parable. And I don't know about you, but parables break down when you do that at some point in time, and there's a lot of conflict, and it causes a lot of problem. But the second thing that it does that really is important to understand is it buries the simple truth that the Lord Jesus is trying to convey. There are simple truths. And that's what is on my heart, to get to the simple truth. To go through these in the next six meetings or so we have together and look at some simple, basic truth, and ask that the Spirit of God would open our eyes and open our ears, like he says, he that has an ear, let him hear. You that have eyes, I hope you can see what the spiritual truth is. To get off of the sidetracks, to get off of the wrong direction, to get off of the errors that can be accounted in some of these parables. Let me just go on a little bit further in this by just bringing you, look at verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. So the first parable we call the parable of the... I'm trying to walk you through this now. Now, the last time I was with you, I think it was a month and a half ago, we at least talked together. So let's reestablish this relationship. You know, I live a terrible existence. I shouldn't say that because it's not true, but I live a different existence. I travel so much. I've got to do this with my family when I go home. I've got to walk in the front and say, hi, I'm your husband. Will you talk to me? And then I go to this assembly and that assembly and this assembly. Then I go home again and I say, hi, I'm your husband. The only one who doesn't seem to have a problem is my dog. She runs right up. She jumps all over the place. And I don't know what it is. And so we're communicating here. I'm trying to impart some spiritual gift, it says in Romans 1, Paul to the Romans, to you, and you're going to do it to me. We're going to mutually look at spiritual truth together, and we're going to go away blessed, I hope, in our relationships together. Now, look at verse 34. Another parable put he forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man. Thank you. It's the parable of the man. Now, the reason I'm doing this is because when you go out and you buy books or you study the parables, you'll find them called all kinds of things but what God calls them. In this one, it's called the parable of the field. And the field, and so you go off on all these tangents. The Lord says, here it is in its simplicity. The kingdom of heaven is like a man. And then look at verse 31. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of seed. A mustard seed, a grain. The kingdom of heaven is like a seed, a grain of seed. And he's going to teach, he puts, now watch, here's my point. When you go back and look at every one, you go back and you put this, kingdom of God, and put next to it a seed, next to it a man. Don't put all the other things next to it. Those are just illustrations to illustrate a point. My point is, by the time I hope we're done, some of this will become so simple. Say, oh, I see that. Why didn't I see that before? And the answer is we cluttered it up too much. Let's unclutter it. Let's find out what the Lord is trying to say. And I believe this, when we do so, we'll see the depth to his simplicity. Now, here's the Lord Jesus. Now, here's the amazing thing when you look at his technique. Here's the Lord Jesus. He's God, became a man. Would you say that next to maybe Paul, that one of the greatest, or the greatest teacher who ever taught a spiritual truth would have to be who? Not a trick question. Thank you. Somebody said me? No. I've got you. I thought Danny did. Danny said you are. That's because you used to Scotty teaching you. So see, that's the difference. Now watch. The greatest conveyor of spiritual truth ever has to be who? The Lord Jesus. And when you expect the Lord Jesus, when he comes, to sit him down and start using all these terms, and for them to sit there and go, wow, he's good. He's over my head. I don't understand. But he doesn't. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a seed. Hello. The kingdom of heaven is like a field. Hello. And he starts talking to him about farming. Hey, you know, I mean, my point is this. Great teachers aren't people who make you so confused that you leave, you say, man, he must be good because I sure didn't understand a word he said. And yet we do that. We walk and we go to conference and we hear, and people walk away and say, man, he must be good. I didn't understand a thing. He's over my head. No, the Lord Jesus simply takes simple truths. He starts talking about life. He talks about nature. He talks about creation. He talks about farming. He talks about a seed. He talks about a man. He talks about the tares. He talks about wheat. He talks about good ground. Listen, simple things that simple people like me and like us can understand these simple things. That's it. Teaching is to take spiritual truth and make it understandable. Make it simple. But brethren, that does not make it any less deeper than... Listen, people say, well, he didn't teach real deep stuff today. He talked about Jesus loves me. Do you realize that when we sing Jesus loves me, this I know, do you realize how deep that spiritual truth is? It takes the Spirit to reveal that to you. That's how deep it is. Well, he don't talk about Jesus being Savior. He's a shallow person. You know what it takes? The Spirit to teach you that Jesus is Savior. Anything that you know spiritually takes the Spirit of God to teach. It's spiritually discerned. It's deep stuff, brethren. Now, the reason I say that is because we're going to get into things and we're going to look at some things that are very basic but yet are very big. They're very deep. And they're going to demand from us a lot. For instance, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man who finds a treasure in a field and sells all that he has. A kingdom of heaven is like a man, a merchant, looking for jewels, and he finds a pearl. And the pearl is a pearl of such great price, he sells all he has. And we're going to look at that. It's very simple. It's simply this, that spiritual things aren't worth anything in the material realm. There's nothing that you can have that can replace a spiritual truth. And that God, therefore, demands everything from you. He wants no second liens on anything in your life. He wants everything. He wants you to sell all you have. He wants you... Now, I'm not going to... No, don't go there. I'm not going to tell you then to go out and sell all you have and bring your money in and give it to the elders. That's what cults do. But it is the attitude that says, I forsake all for him. These are simple spiritual truths, but listen, they're deep and profound. And that's the way they should be. And when we walk away, we should say, uh-oh, I'm not hitting that one on the mark. And ask God to help us. Because they're spiritually discerned, they're spiritually taught, and they're spiritually applied by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? We're going to see right off the bat why we are failing today as Christians in this world. We're going to see that these basic truths, where are they? What's happened to them? Where are they gone? And we're going to walk away from here, I hope. We, notice I'm saying we, saying, Lord, forgive me. And Lord, there's a lot of things in my life that you need to readjust. Now notice another thing, and by the way, today, this morning, will probably be pretty much introduction until we get into really a detail tonight and then Wednesday and then, Lord willing, the next three times together. But notice this in verse 10. The disciples come to him and say this, why do you speak to them in parables? Isn't it amazing? We're always concerned about other people. Isn't that amazing? Boy, I wish so-and-so was here today. That one was for them. I got to get a copy of the tape for them. You know, Peter and the disciples are the same way. They're always concerned about other people. Lord, why are you confusing them? That's what he's saying. Why are you speaking to parables in them? Hello, guys. I was speaking to parables to everyone there. That's the paraphrase of it. And men have gone off on tangents with this because they don't understand what he's saying is, Peter, you know, John, James, I spoke in parables to the whole multitude. The whole point is not everybody has ears to hear. And there's a reason why they don't have ears to hear. But it's simple truth. It's not them and us. It's simply you are preaching and Lord, why don't we understand? He's taught them in parables before. If you go back and look in the Beatitudes, he talked about salt and light. In Matthew 6, he talked about the birds and the lilies. In Matthew 7, he talked about the splinter and the beam. He talked about two gates, good trees, bad trees, and children in the market in chapter 11 of Matthew. The Lord's done this already. By now, the disciples are sitting around and they're just trying to think, why these simple stories and why is all the confusion? Why are you confusing them with these simple stories? Let's get on to some heavy stuff. And the Lord is saying, listen, you don't understand what's taking place here. Not everybody can hear the Word of God. Not everybody will receive the Word of God. Because, you know, when I was a little kid, no comment. When I was a little kid, I can remember that we used to get wholesome bread. I know. It was a big thing when it first came out sliced, right? I know that joke. But inside wholesome bread, they used to put gifts. They used to put prizes, a baseball card or... Do you remember that? You don't remember that. I lived in North Miami Beach. Maybe it was the only thing they did there to keep us happy and we didn't cause problems. I don't know. But they like Jack in the Box. You know, I'm assuming Jack. Cracker Jacks. Remember Cracker Jacks? They still have Cracker Jacks, don't they? The only problem is now you guys get those little paper lick-on tattoos in them. You used to get good stuff in those things. And I remember this. The big thing back then was Buck Rogers. Remember Buck Rogers? I'm giving my age away, aren't I? Remember they used to have that little plastic jet that hung on a string and they'd film it with a little smoke coming out of it and shh, it was in black and white because we didn't have a color TV then. Jody's the only one back there going, oh yeah, I got one of those. See, he can do that because Darlene's not out here and she doesn't mind. Now, listen, they had in those things decoder rings. And man, you'd get these things and then you'd use these decoder ring and spin it. You could decode messages and everything. It was the greatest thing going. Now it's no big deal. They got electric things and electronic things and you got to be able to do this stuff and have TVs to plug into your things. And I don't know. But decoder rings. You know what the Lord Jesus is saying? Listen. There are people who can hear because they have ears and the ability. They've got the decoder ring. It's spiritually discerned. There are people who aren't. There are people who don't understand. Do you ever wonder why you can look somebody square in the face at work and say, Jesus loves you and he died for you? And they go, huh? Hey, what's for lunch? And you want to shake them sometimes and think, what is going on here? But the fact of the matter is that there are two categories of listeners. He said this, those that have ears to hear. Look at verse 9. Those who have ears to hear, let him hear. And then he turns around in verse 16 and says, blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. They don't. They're going away. And there's a reason for that. Now, the main truth that I would like to convey this morning and this evening and maybe even Wednesday, we might not get out of this, in the parable of the soils is this. Do not sit there and think, man, I should have invited my unsaved, and I hope there's some unsaved people here, because these responses to the word or lack of responses are not only true to people because, well, we're saved and they're not, but it's true in the Christian's life. There are many Christians whose heart is just like pathway soil. There are many Christians whose life and heart is full of thorns. You think about it. It says this, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. And then when we get to it, here's the killer that killed me. I tell you, it's misery studying sometimes. It really is. Because then you flip over to Mark 4 and Mark adds this. And the strong desires for other things. And boy, we're going to get hit with that one. I warn you. Please, do not come back probably on Wednesday. You're not going to like it. But we're going to make tapes and mail them to you. So one way or another, you're going to listen to it. Because we live in a society where, listen, the strong desire for other things has made our hearts in such a condition that when the word slips in and there seems to be a response, it gets choked out. And we've got people who don't have time for spiritual things, and the reason is the desire for other things. Do you realize that God is the creator of time? Do you realize that in your life He's given you enough time to do what He wants you to do in your life? The problem is you're not putting your time under the control of the Spirit of God, and therefore it's cluttered. The cares of other things have come in. You see? That's why I say this isn't going to be an easy time going through these parables, because it's going to hurt. But listen, it hurts to pull weeds in the garden, but it's nice after the weeds are gone, true? And it hurts to have an operation, but once the growth is gone and you heal again, it's good. And that's what we want to achieve. Some of you might have known this morning that my son got married a week ago yesterday. And I left my Bible study in South Miami that Wednesday before to drive to Wrightsville Beach to perform this wedding on Saturday morning. And at the end of the wedding, to make a long story short, I was standing in the beach. We were actually standing in the beach. The water was behind us, and the people were sitting in folding chairs in the sand. And when I pronounced them husband and wife, and they went and they kissed my wife and kissed her mother and went to the back, since we were at the beach and we had a gazebo there with food, I just simply made the announcement, now you may go out and hug them. And everybody kind of got up and went there. And when I looked to the back, and most of you know I'm not a very emotional person, I looked at the back, and I looked at my son, and in the 29 years that I've known him, or thought I'd known him, I have never seen my son look so happy in my whole life. I never have. Not a Christmas, not anything. And I looked back in the back, and everybody was fluttering around them, and in the middle of this people cocoon was a young man and a young woman just holding each other and looking as close as they could into each other's eyes with the biggest grin. And I was choking them back. I'll tell you, it just choked me. And the reason I'm telling you this story is the next day I had to get up. I went home that night, had to leave them and my wife and kids, go home to Danville. So the next morning I go to Winston-Salem and speak. And on my way to Winston-Salem, I was listening to a man preach. And he was sharing a story about what it means to give all. And he was giving a story about a missionary who decided God called them to go to this foreign field. And he went to the foreign field with his wife and two daughters. And it was 107 in the shade. There was no personal hygiene stuff there. It was a primitive third world country. And to make a long story short, in 8 months, both of his daughters died. And when the missionary came back 10 years later, he was asked this question. Do you think your missionary trip was worth it? And without a blink, he looked back and said, I'd do it again today without even thinking. And as I was driving in that car, my mind went back to looking at my son and looking at my daughter-in-law and that look they had for each other. And I remember thinking, John, would you? And to be quite honest, I had to say no. I couldn't do it. I couldn't say, if it meant my son dying and missing that moment of happiness between him and his new bride, to be quite honest, I just said, Lord, I couldn't. I'm sorry. I feel so bad. And then the Lord said, I gave my son for you, John. And then he put my nose in these parables. So I'm telling you this, we're in for some deep water. Believe me. Because, brethren, we've got to stop playing games. We've got to stop playing church. We've got to stop going to church. And we've got to get back to really what the kingdom of God is all about. Because if we don't, we're going to miss out. Because remember I told you about the treasure seeker that sold all? And the person who found the pearl and sold all? Guess what it says? It says, for joy, sold everything. That's what we're missing, brethren. The joy of it. So we want to look now. We want to look at this parable. We want to understand it's not for everyone's ears. But we know this, he that has an ear, we better hear. And if we know the Lord and we have spiritual ears, then brethren, we've got to ask the Lord to revive our hearts to the living word, to make this old truth that's familiar to us real, so that it changes us and moves us and motivates us. And that's what the Lord Jesus wanted to do. Spiritual truth was given in such a way to the masses that, man, they walked away from here. Now, why were they in this condition? Please look at verse 14 and 15. They were in this condition, number one, because God had told them they were going to be in this position. Isn't it amazing? God's never shocked by anything. Isaiah prophesied it probably 1,000 years ago before it ever happened. 900 years before it ever, I don't know however long. But listen, hundreds of years before it ever happened, Isaiah stood up and said, this is what's going to happen. They're going to have eyes, but they're not going to see. And they're going to have ears, not going to hear. Because brethren, Knowing spiritual truth is not an issue of your eyes and your ears. Notice verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed hard, gross. Knowing spiritual truth is an issue of your heart. And that's why in Proverbs it says to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Now, the day you become a Christian, the Spirit of God resides in you to lead, to guide, and direct you. You become a new creation. You have a new heart. It's living. But listen, you still have sin in your members, and you still have Satan out there, and he wants to lead your heart astray. And he'll do that. You need to be very careful. You need to be very careful. And that's why some of us today, our hearts are just like this stony soil, just like the pathway, just like the thorny. And brethren, if we want to make the most and have the most come from our lives spiritually, we need to have good soil of the heart. Now, for years, turn with me to Isaiah 55, because for years, better keep an eye on that clock, Isaiah chapter 55, for years, I always had a problem because people would always say, well, preach it out, brother, because somewhere along the line, someone's going to hear and believe it, because God promises you that when His Word goes forth, it'll accomplish it. And I want to ask you this question this morning. When God's Word goes forth and He promises to accomplish, what is it that He promises? So that somebody will be saved? Somebody will be restored? Is that what we think, what He means by it? Well, it's found in Isaiah chapter 55. When it says, verse 6, seek ye the Lord while He may be found, call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord. He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that which goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that for which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now, believe it or not, did you notice he spoke a parable there? For as the rain falls and the snow, you notice a parable there? And do you notice it also parallels the parable of the soil? Because he says, waters the ground and it brings forth seed and it brings forth bread to him. You notice that? It's a wonderful parable. But tucked away in there. Now, we have to break down a couple of things. Number one is this, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. What does he mean by that? When is that? Answer. Anytime your ear is opened and you hear God's voice. He that has an ear, if you hear, today is the day of salvation. When? Now. He's near unto you. Now you hear his voice. Whenever God's dealing with you, that's the time to respond. God takes the initiative. Whether it's an unsaved person and they're feeling the tugging of God, and I've got to do business with God and I've got to deal with God, or whether it's us as believers who have been hearts are just as hard as a rock or full of thorns and weeds or whatever it is. Whenever God starts, you hear the voice of the Lord, that's when you do it. That's when you seek the Lord while he may be found. When will he may be found? When he's dealing with you, when he's talking to you. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. When? When you hear his voice, when he's speaking to you. And then he goes on to say, listen, my word's going to go forth. And listen, it will go out of my mouth, and it will not return unto me void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which I send it forth. And my question to you is this, what purpose is that? Well, he gives the example, as snow and rain go, and they water the earth. You know what's amazing? Here's an amazing thing. Rain comes down. We went through a drought in Virginia last year. We were 22 inches behind in a year. We have red clay there. We don't have soil like you do. Well, you have coral rock here, but with a little bit of soil and sand on it in some places. But it turns into literal brick. When there's no rain and it's hot, 100 degrees, we have hot summers in Virginia. Hot. It gets 100. I mean, we had 13 days of 100 degree weather. I mean, it's just, the lawn gets hard. It's harder than this wood. It gets, And it's hard. And guess what? Things die and other things live. Weeds live through it. I don't know why, but other things die. But then all of a sudden, this year we've had a lot of rain. We had 12 snowstorms. We averaged 3 a year. I couldn't figure out why the Lord wanted me down here out of 52 weeks, 30 weeks this year. Now I know why. Because I missed 5 of those. 5 snowstorms I was down here. And you know, it's rain every week. We are now, they said that the drought is gone. We're now ahead. So we've gotten almost 30 inches of rain in the time since last summer. It's incredible. Now my point is this. That rain comes down and that snow comes down and it falls on a whole face of the earth. But not every response is the same. True? Right? The rain falls down even in your yard. Even in your yard. It falls down in my yard. And guess what? There's a brown patch. Why? Because there's a rock there. And over here, it's a green lush grass because I have grass either. Over there, it's weeds because there are weeds there. The response is not the same. Do not think that God is saying, every time my word goes out, someone's going to get saved. Every time my word goes out, no. There's only one thing that the word of God does every time. It's God's will and it accomplishes it. And it's this. It makes visible and manifest the character of the soil in which it hits. That's what it does every time. The rain, when it hits, will always make visible what the characteristic of that ground is. God sends it for a purpose. That the water, listen, would water find good soil, hit seed, and spring up? But it's not always, it doesn't always do that. But one thing it always does is reveal the character of that soil. I mean, after a rainstorm, you can just look out. Sometimes you think, it didn't rain here. Where'd the water go? It's good soil. It went in. You look at the neighbor's yard and think, man, look at the puddles. What's wrong over there? It's hard as a rock. That's the point. It will always reveal. It will always reveal. So does the Word of God. This morning, as the Word of God goes forth, listen, there are different types of responses right here. Different. There's the stone, there's the pathway soil we're going to see. There's the stony, rocky soil. There's going to be the thorny soil. And the whole purpose isn't to bring forth some kind of life. I remember a big argument in my home assembly about 20 years ago down in Bible Truth was, what is the purpose and intent of this? In other words, out of the 4 soils in Matthew 13, 3 were Christian and 1 wasn't. I said, how can that be? They said, because the first one is the only one that didn't spring up with a what? A little green sprout. Is that what God is saying there? Listen, the springing up of the green sprout just simply means you heard the Word of God. There are many people that hear the Word of God and respond to it, but it's never applied because they never exercised their will and accept it or believe it by faith. The point the Lord is making is there's only one good soil, true? Doesn't the Spirit of God say that? Only one good soil. Which means that today probably one of 4 of you is ready to hear what's being said. That's why only 1 or 2 you're saying true. Amen. Now watch. There's only one good soil. The rest have all been influenced by something or another. And God's going to show you this morning the condition of your heart. That's right. That's what's happening right now. You say, that preacher sure wasn't good. Don't blame me. If I follow my wife's notes, I don't have a problem. The problem is you. You're hard soil. The problem is the hearer, not the listener. That's the great thing about the sower. Listen, anyone can sow seed and just throw it out of your pocket. You just throw it everywhere. That's how they sowed it too. They didn't get their Scott's weed and feed cyclone out and adjust it properly or improperly. They just grabbed it and threw it, and anybody can do that. Don't blame the sower. It's the condition of the soil. And brethren, we live in America. It is a soil deconditioner. I'm telling you. And we're going to get through these types of soil and we're going to figure out what is it in our heart that is inhibiting the word. Do you ever wonder why some people seem to bear fruit spiritually and others don't? You ever wonder why some people seem to grow and other people don't? Now, I know God has different purposes and I know God gives different gifts. But when it comes to the Word of God taking root and bearing fruit, see, that's the key. The good soil is the only one that bore fruit. That's what the Lord's getting onto. Remember what the Lord said to his disciples in John 15? You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained that you should go forth and bear much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. But herein is my Father glorified. You bear much fruit. Now, brethren, I want to make this point clear because the time is almost gone. God is glorified by much fruit. He's not glorified by a little sprig of a green woo, he was good. Wasn't that wonderful? And go home and it dies off because tribulation comes and you can't stand it. Or the cares of the world come, or the cares of other things come, or the deceitfulness of riches come. And all of a sudden it's choked. There's no fruit. God isn't excited about that. God's not glorified by that. God's glorified by the end of the process bearing fruit in the life. Bearing fruit in the life. And that's the key to Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, what he's trying to tell them is, listen, good soil brings forth fruit. Did you notice in verse 15 of chapter 13? Go back to Matthew 13, verse 15. Do you notice the three medical terms? He says this, sick heart. Literally, it says their heart is waxed gross. It means this. It's a heart full of plaque, a hard heart, full of plaque. Just full of a hard substance. Then it says this, their ears are dull of hearing. If you look at it, it says it's full of gradual wax buildup. That's the intent. It's just over the years. Man, I remember once when I was a kid, I got a terrible headache and couldn't hear a thing my mother said. And that caused a pain in the other end. Because when you don't listen to your parents, you're in trouble. Now watch. So I went to my mom and I said, Mom, I just can't hear. I got a headache somewhere. And she took me to the doctor. He took this big, huge syringe. Have you ever had him do that to you? Scary as a kid, because there's no needle on it, but you don't know that. All you see is, okay. And they fill it with soapy water, and right in the ear, and all of a sudden, whoop, the pain is gone. I can hear. It's wonderful. I can hear again. Well, that slow, gradual buildup. You see, that's probably some of our problem, too. That slow, gradual buildup that gets stuck in our ear. And then he says this, eye cataracts. That's a slow process, too. Your eyes become... It says closed. Their eyes, they have closed, become scaly, become you can't see. See, the whole problem is it's a slow process. And somehow the things of this world and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, and boy, they're deceitful. We're going to see that. And this desire for other things. If there was a phrase, if somebody came to you and said, describe in the Bible America, I would say this, strong desire for other things. Other things are choking out. Do you realize the most important thing in the world? Do you realize today what the most important thing in the world is? When I was doing my son's wedding last Saturday, the Lord used some scriptures as we were going through them, getting ready for it. I realized, you know, it's funny how you can read something for so long and not understand it. Not really, you know, you can read the scriptures, you can read it. All of a sudden I started to realize, do you know what the oldest ordinance known to man is? Marriage. It was the first thing. Adam and Eve in the wedding. And I started to realize why. Because God's saying right at the beginning, the most important thing in life is a relationship. And then he says in Ephesians 5, it's a picture of Christ in the church. That was the mystery of it. Which means the most important thing in the world is relationships. And number one is my relationship with the Lord. And then the relationship with other people. That's really what's important. That's the only thing that's important. We live in America where things are important. Use people, get things. God says, no. Use things and then enjoy people. It's just the total opposite. And we're so sidetracked in America. I mean, we have fallen to it. And it's been creeping into our spiritual ears, and it's been putting scales on our spiritual eyes. And listen, the point is that our heart then becomes hard. And like it says in Zechariah 7 with Israel, he says to Israel, your heart has become like a diamond. And my word can't even penetrate it. And you know the sad thing about it? God will, if you're a Christian, penetrate your heart. He just used a different means. If you won't listen to the word, he'll do another thing. Oh, he'll send a lightning bolt if he has to. He'll get your attention. He'll soften that heart. He is saying, you make sure your heart's in good condition. You make sure your soil's right. Because listen, this is no joke. God is honored and God is glorified by fruit. Are you glorifying God by fruit in your life? Is the word of God producing fruit in your life? If it isn't, then we need to go before the Lord, and we need to find out why. And we need to ask God to reveal to us what it is. And we need to ask God to help us deal with this and give us the strength and the discernment and the power to do it. Because I don't know about you, but when I stand before the Lord, I don't want to have to cower in a corner somewhere and say, oh, I hope he doesn't ask me about my stewardship. Herein is your Father glorified. You bear much fruit. I told you that it's amazing how you can read something and not even see it. And then all of a sudden, I was looking because of the parables in Luke's gospel when the disciples went to the Lord and they said, Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said to them, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, this mountain gets in front of you, you'll say, be moved, it'll go into the sea. And I said, Lord, I look at that and I, you know, you hear so many things about that verse. And I'm thinking, Lord, are you telling them that they don't have any faith? They're following you. You're telling them they don't have any faith? And all of a sudden I realized, that's not what the Lord was saying. Let me paraphrase as I close. Here's what the Lord was saying. You're sitting there saying, Lord, increase my faith because I want to do greater things for you. And you might be saying something similar to that because you're saying the soils aren't right and the condition of my heart's not right. And Lord, you need to do something. That's what the disciples said. Lord, increase our faith. We want to do greater things. And here's what the Lord said, and I'll paraphrase it. Your problem isn't you need more faith. Your problem is you need to use the faith you have already. You have faith as a grain of mustard seed. And you know what? If you knew it and you understood it, you could say to this mountain, move. You know what our problem is? Our problem is we're not using what we have. Our problem is we're trying to move around and have God do bigger things and bigger things. And we're praying to increase our faith. And he's trying to say, hey, you're not even using what you have. You're not even using what you have. I pray that that's what he'll open our eyes to as we look at these parables this week. Let's pray. Our Father, and God, we thank you again for this time together. We thank you, our Father, for the privilege of being members of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Father, we pray if there's somebody here this morning who doesn't know the Lord Jesus but has been hearing your voice. They know their heart is hard and they know the things of this world have choked out the word if they've heard it in the past. But Father, they've been hearing your voice that they too today might seek the Lord while he is found, as we read in that scripture. That they might say, yea, Lord, thy servant heareth thee, speak to me. And Father, we pray for the body of Christ here. We pray for every believer. We pray, Father, that you would bear fruit in our lives and that you would be glorified by the fruit that you bring forth. Prepare the soil of our heart. Reveal to us the things that are wrong, and by faith we would exercise our will and depend on the power of God to see those areas dealt with. Whether they be the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world, or just simply the desire for other things, we pray that you would pull those weeds. Father, we pray that you would be glorified. We know you are glorified in the Lord Jesus. We pray that we would be like him. Change us into his image. Father, we would give you the praise and we would give you the thanksgiving of our heart as we do so. And we would lay every fruit that is born at your feet and give you the praise for all eternity. Father, we just thank you now and praise you in Jesus' name.